Right. Today is a Wednesday, June 1st, 28th day of the month of Iyar, Yom Yerushalayim, 5771. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're in Bereishit, Perek Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Rabotai. Okay, Rabotai. We're in Bereishit, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. And we're going to see two before we proceed to Ibn Ezra's understanding of the first pasuk of him, debate between him and Bachya. We're going to see another two possible interpretations of Rashi's opening comment. If you remember correctly, Rashi had stated in his opening remark that the Torah should not have begun with Bereshit, but rather with Shmot chapter 12. For after all, that is the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. Why does it start with Bereshit? The assumption that Rashi operates under is that the Torah is a book of law. If it's a book of law, begin with the laws that are imperative upon each member of Am Yisrael. Rashi answers that the reason why it begins with Bereshit is to somehow justify Am Yisrael's acquisition of Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rashi said. Because the nations of the world are subsequently going to complain that we stole their land. Now we start off the Torah by telling us that the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He decided that Kanani, Chiti, Amori operate or have control of what we call Eretz Yisrael for first several thousand years. And then he decided to give it to Am Yisrael. So we can't be accused of being thieves. After all, God owns everything. He decided, I'm giving it to you. And now he decided that he's taking it away from you and giving it to somebody else. Those were the simple words of Rashi. We tried to give several interpretations of Rashi. Today I'm going to give you two perspectives of a great teacher of Tanakh in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Mordechai Breuer, who has an enormous following, has written extensively in terms of Tanakh. He offers two perspectives. I know you have a Chamishi Chumash Torah in front of you. Please look at Rashi's opening remark of the first part of every Chumash. Rashi's opening remark of every single Chumash. So you have to look at Sefer Shemot, Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Bamidbar, and Sefer Dvarim. Check Rashi's remarks. In Shemot, it is the very first line of Rashi, his opening remark. In Vayikra, his opening remark, it's always his opening remark. So let's do it together, okay? We'll go to Sefer Shemot. Shemot begins with Ve'ele Shemot Bnei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim. So Rashi asks, why are we listing the names of Bnei Yisrael again? That's Rashi's question. Why are we listing the names of Bnei Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim? Well, what would you answer, Rashi, in asking that question? Rashi's asking a question. You know, why did he give? And he's going to give us his answer. What would you answer? Don't give me Rashi's answer.
What would you answer when asked the question, why does the Torah begin Sefer Shmot with Ve'ele Shmot B'nei Yisrael HaBoim Mitzrayim? What would you say?
It's a new chapter.
What?
It's a new chapter in the life of B'nei Yisrael, so we want to have a whole talent.
Good. We're about to describe Shibud Mitzrayim, the enslavement, so we want to know who we're talking about. What's Rashi's point? What's Rashi couldn't figure that out? What's Rashi's question? Why is he going to give a midrashic comment?
Because he loved them so much, he can't do
it. No, that's his answer. That's his answer. But there's got to be something in the pshat that's bothering Rashi for him to what? To appeal to a midrash. That's the first rule of Pinky. Rashi doesn't open up his mouth unless there is a problem in the text. Rashi doesn't comment on every pasuk. He doesn't comment on every phrase within every pasuk. There has to be a textual difficulty which he is addressing. He rarely tells us what it is. We have to try to figure it out. So in this question, we know what we can figure out what his question is. But the answer which you gave is so simple. So why would I have to... So I want you to look now in Bereshit, chapter 46, verse 8 for a moment, and then rephrase the question. Chapter 46 of Sefer Bereshit, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Chet. No, in the text. Look at the text, and now rephrase Rashi's question a little more poignantly. It already listed it. Exactly. Chet. What does it say? Ve'ele shmot b'nei Yisrael habayim Mitzrayim. Yaakov v'banav b'chorim. He's already listing all the people who came down to Mitzrayim. The exact same phrase already is recorded in Sefer Bereishit. Here are the list of people who came to Mitzrayim. Ve'ele shmot b'nei habayim Mitzrayim. So why do I have to repeat it again at the beginning of Sefer Shmot? Ve'ele shmot habayim Mitzrayim. That's Rashi's question. Why does the Torah repeat the names of the people who came to Mitzrayim if it is already documented in chapter 46 of Sefer Bereshit, Pasuk Chet? The exact very same Pasuk appears. No change whatsoever. None whatsoever. Therefore, that leads Rashi to offer his midrashic remark. Why does the Torah repeat the names of all of those coming? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. Right? That's his response. But the important thing is to document what in the world is bothering Rashi. What's bothering Rashi? Rashi is bothered by, and it's not always easy to know. Rashi expects you to know what's going on in the whole Chumash. He expects you to know that. And that's why he can ask this question based on an assumption that you understand what's bothering him. So his answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael, and he loves to count them. And the counting, when you love something, is always, the image always given is with a wealthy person who opens up his safe every single day and counts all of his precious jewelry, all of his money. So it makes him feel good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him feel great that what happens, that he counts his children very nice. Go now to Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra. Look at the opening phrase of Sefer Vayikra and tell me, please, what is bothering Rashi in the text. Who's bothering Rashi?
What if he called him and then speak to him?
Good.
It says 60,000 times, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Limor.
All of a sudden, Vayikra al Moshe, he called to Moshe and he said it. What did he say when he called? Hey Mo, how are you? And that's what Rashi's going to say. Yes, that's precisely what he said. But that's Rashi's question. It's an unusual phrase. The phrase Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'Emor appears hundreds of times in the text, many times already in Sefer Shmot. And suddenly here there's a difference. Vayikra Moshe, then Vayedaber Hashem elav. So what does Rashi answer Vayikra el Moshe? What is his answer?
What? Lashon Chiba. Lashon Chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes an incredible relationship with Moshe, and it's not a business relationship. Namely, Moshe saying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, just tell this to Bnei Yisrael. Tell that to Bnei Yisrael. Tell them I'm angry, this, to tell them to do this mitzvah, tell them to do not to do this thing. It could be a very business, professional relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. Says Rashi, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, how are you? Want a cup of coffee? How are you, Moshe? How are you? Did you see the Yankee game last night? They won 10-3. How did you? He discards a Lashon Chiba. Lashon Chiba. Very nice. Now go to Sefer Bamidbar.
Sefer Bamidbar. Oh, yes.
Basically, yes. Again, the text opens up with what?
What does Sefer, what is Parshat Bamidbar? We read it last week. Couldn't have forgotten it. Accounting,
exactly. So Rashi is going to ask the question without asking it. And he does. What are we counting them again for? We know what number it was. It was already a census established earlier in Sefer Shmot. It's called Parshat Ki Tisa.
And how was the count arrived at? Every person contributed machatzit ha-shekel. And it says at the end of Parshat Pekudei that the number of shkalim, machatzit they correct, was 603,550.
It says it's black and white. So why are we beginning to count again? So what does Rashi answer?
He loves them. He loves them. Loves.
He loves them. Oh, loves them. So we count them again. Very nice.
Very nice. Now go to Sefer Dvarim.
Now go to Sefer Dvarim.
Now in Sefer Dvarim, Rashi does not use the word love, but something else, which is critical. Critical. The what? Yes. Yes. It's even Moshe. But I'm talking about Rashi's remark. Moshe begins Sefer Dvarim, the first five psukim out of the editor's remark, though. Eile ha-dvarim asher diber Moshe. Moshe starts speaking in Sefer Dvarim, perek pasuk hei. Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorei. First five psukim is the editor, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, setting the frame for when Moshe's farewell address is going to be delivered. So what is the beginning of Sefer Dvarim? What is its major purpose? We studied Sefer Dvarim for 12 years. What is one of its purposes? What? Rebuke for Am Yisrael. And he started with it. That is Moshe's first and perhaps primary task, to warn them. It's 37 days, I'm out of here. I am not going to be able to bail you out all the time. Please conduct yourselves appropriately. Very nice. And he uses very harsh lashon. Very harsh lashon. Claims Rashi at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, please interpret the first pasuk. Eile ha-dvarim asher diber Moshe al bnei Yisrael, right? Where?
Be'er Yarden,
Bamidbar, Barava, Mosul, right?
Good. Rashi claims that this pasuk is a code. That's Rashi's claim. Every one of these words refers to an episode where HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Bnei Yisrael. Now he does not elaborate on every one of those episodes in the rest of Sefer Dvarim. He does not. So why mention them in code? Asks Rashi.
So Rashi will say, you know what? In reality, Moshe lambasted them for every single one of them. But that would be a longer Sefer Dvarim. So he decided to put it in code form. Why? Lichvodan shel Yisrael.
To protect the dignity, claims Rashi, of Am Yisrael.
Lichvodan shel Yisrael.
He didn't want to elaborate and start, he ranked them out there, you did this at Kibro Tata'ava, you did this by the Misonim. You know what, I'll take two, three things. I took the Chet Egel, took the Meraglin, but the rest of him, I'm only going to mention by code. Why this code? Says Rashi. Look, you'll see it inside. Why? Lichvodan shel Yisrael. That's how Rashi interprets. So what's the common thread that emerges in every opening of Rashi in the five chumashim of the Torah? What's the common thread of Rashi's first remark that he shares with us? What? His love for Akva B'nai Yisrael. Exactly. His love for B'nai Yisrael. And I'm going to show you, at least Rabbi Breuer shows where Rashi got this idea from, to link love for B'nai Yisrael in introducing every one of his chumashim. Where did he get this idea? Please open up for a second to Bamidbar chapter 8. Pasuk Yutet. Perek Chet of Parshat Ha'alotah, Pasuk Yutet. Perikhet Pasuk Yutet. A very simple Pasuk. Vo'etna, right? Does it begin with that word? Vo'etna. Mm-hmm. Good. What did I give?
Levi'im.
What? The Levi'im. Yeah. Good, good. Yeah, what did he give to the Levi'im? Right? I gave the Levi'im to whom? To Aaron and his children, to serve as their assistants. Now, how many times does the words B'nai Yisrael appear in this text?
Five times.
That's what Rashi notices. Five times B'nai Yisrael. Five times B'nai Yisrael. Take a look at Rashi's comment. Rashi's comment on that pasuk. Vo'etna, says Rashi. Chamisha pa'amim ne'emar b'nei Yisrael b'mikrazeh. Five times the word b'nei Yisrael appears in this text. Lahodia chibatan. How much God loves Am Yisrael. Shenichpelu azkiroteyen b'mikra echad. Because their names have been mentioned five times in one pasuk. Why five? Ki minyan chamisha chum sheikh Torah. Because there are five chumashim of the Torah. That's why I have to repeat B'nai Yisrael five times. So what does Rashi extract from that particular midrash? What does he say? That when you begin a Torah, a chamisha chumshe Torah, what should I do? What should I do? Say something that reflects chibatan shel Yisrael. So in each one of the chumashim, Rashi has chosen to identify a remark, not necessarily the most important contextual remark, not the most important significant question based on the text, and even if it is, it's certainly his answer is always medrashi, drashi, chiba, 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 ilafim, ilafim, ilafim. Why? I learned that from this medrash itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the name B'nai Yisrael five times in one pasuk. And what does the Medrash tell me? Why? Only reason, because he loves them. And what happened to the number five symbolize? Chamisha Chum Shekhar. So I, Rashi, will now understand that as I begin my commentary to Chamisha Chum Shekhar, every one of them I'm going to start a remark with Chibatan Shel Yisrael. In fact, in Sefer Bereishit, Rashi's going to do it twice. I'm going to show you in two. We learned both Rashi's in there. Number one, because Bereshit is one of the five chumashim. And number two, Bereshit is the beginning of what? Of the entire Torah. So Rashi is going to offer two remarks, Lichvodan Chibatan Shel Yisrael, at the very outset. At the very outset. Take a look, we read this Rashi last week. How did Rashi interpret Bereshit Bara? Bereshit Bara.
The second Rashi. The first Rashi we ever looked at. That's going to be the Rashi which is going to relate specifically to Sefer Bereishit, as I will show you in a second. He also has a broad general remark. Bereishit bara. What does Rashi say in the second Rashi? We read it last week. Ein hamikra hazeh omer ela darsheni. Okay? The pasuk is begging me to darshan. Very nice. Kimo shedarshu rabotenu. Bishvil ha-Torah shenikra reishit u'bishvil Yisrael shenikru reishit. Ah, I want to say something nice about Am Yisrael at the very beginning of the Torah. How am I going to say something nice about Am Yisrael at the beginning of the Torah? The opening word. Why was this world created? Bishvil ha-Torah. That's the first time. Reishit is Torah. That the world was created for what purpose? To enable the Torah to guide and lead and develop peoples of this world. And you know who else is called? You know who else the world was created for? Bnei Yisrael, because they're also called Rashi. So Rashi, in addition to his first remark, in which he what? In which he establishes the link between Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael in the first Rashi, now Rashi says something, another positive remark about Am Yisrael. Once again, Rashi's expression of Chiba. Two elements of Chiba for Am Yisrael. One, I'm going to establish the connection to their land, and I'm going to tie that in a second to a much broader perspective. Secondly, if you want to know about Sefer Bereishit, Sefer Bereishit is what the world was created only because Am Yisrael, just as the entire world was created only because of Torah. So, in each occasion, Rashi's opening remark is based on his love of Am Yisrael and his recognizing. I have to protect the dignity of Am Yisrael. Now, this idea of protecting the dignity and loving Am Yisrael is not just a nice little cute opening device which Rashi has. It happens to be one of the ikarim of Rashi's approach to the text. Rashi does not believe that biblical figures ever do anything wrong. Never. Whenever Rashi can avail himself of a midrash to portray one of the avot or anybody else in a positive light, that's what Rashi's going to do. The Ramban will take him to task. We will read the Ramban inside where he gets angry at Rashi, telling him that the people who you portray could never serve as leaders, as inspirational members for us. Why? Because they're perfect. And we're not perfect. You have to be able to point out, says the Ramban, the faults of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and recognize, despite their faults, despite the fact that they made serious errors of judgment, they were great personalities. And we, human beings, can aspire to reach their level and to perhaps even make greater contributions than they made. And there is no greater illustration of the debate between Avraham, between the Ramban and Rashi as at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. When Avraham tells Sarah, his wife, Sarai at the time, what does he should say? What should he say when he comes to Mitzrayim? Imrina achoti at. Imrina achoti at. Everybody remembers why Avraham said that. Why did Avraham say that? Because always afraid. Oh, did they kill him? Rashi says, okay, that's fine. He was just worried to protect himself. Says the Ramban, yeah, he's willing to protect himself on whose account? His own account. On her account. Of Yenim's plates, like we say in Yiddish. On somebody else's shoulders, I'm going to go ahead and what? And right, exactly. What kind of business is that? You look at the Ramban right there, and he says,
the entire Shibud Mitzrayim, 210 years slavery, was a punishment to Am Yisrael because Avraham told Sarai to say, we will learn it in black on white. Black on white. But that is what the Ramban, and the Ramban saying, how could you look at Avraham as a great tzaddik for telling his wife and put her into trouble? And the Ramban goes to town there trying to explain, you're doing nobody any favors. But Rashi's love of Am Yisrael was so great, so powerful, that he, wherever possible, even if it's the most far-fetched midrash I could possibly identify with, I will not condemn. I will try to maintain this pristine image of each one of the avot. They're always right. They always interpret it in another way, you know, alumnus and so on and so forth.
But it should be pointed out that Ramban is far more controversial than Rashi. There are quite a few people who say you should not study Ramban, certainly as a first commentator.
Yeah, I would say that, not the son. I would that, with all due respect.
Very controversial.
The Ramban is not controversial.
I could Ramban say that. Be careful when you read the Ramban.
God forbid. Okay, they may have said it. The Ramban is the greatest of all Parshanim of the Chumash. The greatest. And with all, you know, Rashi also has his place. But the Ramban, he saw it the way he saw it. Those people who object to saying that do not believe, you know, how are you going to face the Ramban when they ask, Ramban, why did you write that? Why did you paint Abraham in a negative light? You think the Ramban's not going to be able to answer what I just said? He's going to say, he said it better than I can. I don't understand why people are afraid of that type of an approach. What are you afraid of? That somebody's not going to look at the Avot in the manner in which we should, because they are human beings?
Well, yeah, it depends who you're teaching it to.
Well, who are we talking to?
I know, but I'm just saying.
I'm not talking to religious fundamentalists.
Okay,
but, you know, yeah.
With the Bible, is there any other pasuk in Torah that has the names written more than once? What about the that pasuk?
I don't know. I'm sure there is more than one once, but I don't think it's a pasuk that has five times in the same pasuk. I don't know. You have to go to a computer, and you'll see whether it's in the same pasuk some five times. I guarantee you it's not five times in the same pasuk.
Okay,
yes.
Rashi's comment, though, is what is
the devil
right? That is in the beginning. But somehow also fits into this tefillah, because what is that partnership of Bnei Israel?
That we are Mekadesh the Chodesh.
But we have a piece of the Torah.
Correct.
So in other words, that's what we're saying.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Because he could have picked something.
1,000 point. Well taken. Well taken. Just want to pause for 5 seconds. Should have done this at the beginning. I want to dedicate this year, half which we've already done, but dedicate for two people. Number one, it's Rachel's brother's yard site. Yaakov Halevi been labeled with Tzipora. And there is a woman who comes, her name is Sandy Kaplan. Unfortunately, her mother-in-law passed away. Her husband's sitting Shimon Fairlawn, and someone asked that I dedicate the share in memory of her mother-in-law, Leah Basmeyer. So everybody can keep that in mind. So that's point number one. That Rashi's opening remark is part of the global five Chumashim. Point number two. Please open up to Perek Gimel of Sefer Bereshit, and you will see one of the most spectacular statements of the Ramban. The Ramban. You don't have to. Yeah, you can open. Excuse me. Take the page that I gave. I think you better. I have the Ramban with the friendly notes. So I wasted a tree. It is chapter 5 of Sefer Bereshit. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam B'yom Bura Hashem Elokim Shemayim Va'aretz. Very nice. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. The simple interpretation of Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, this is the book of the descendants of man, and now the Torah in the end of Sefer Parshat Bereishit, as it does many times, will begin to enumerate 10 generations of people. It's the transition between Parshat Bereishit and
Noah.
There were 10 generations between. So the Torah in one chapter will just rattle off lots of names. This guy had children, he lived 450 years, and he had more children, and they died. Next guy. B'nai Misushela, right? Misushela. This one, Mahalalel. This one, Canaan. That's what happens. 10 generations, very nice. Says the Ramban. Look at, I bracketed the Ramban's remarks. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Ramban writes, Habanim Ashi Yaskir Barsha. What does the word Toladot mean? Whenever you see, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak Ben Abraham, Ve'ele Toldot Noah, what is Tolada always in the context of? Children, descendants, genealogy lists. That's what it's generally done. That's the first line in Ramban. Then the Ramban says, Ulefi da'ati, Yirmoz Lechon HaTorah. According to me, my humble opinion, says the Ramban, this phrase, Zeh Sefer, refers not just to genealogy lists, but to the entire Torah. Ki chol ha-Torah kula Sefer Toldot Adam. Ki chol ha-Torah kula Sefer Toldot Adam. Al-Kei Amar Bekan Sefer Velo Amar Ve'ele Toldot Adam, Ve'ele Toldot Ishmael, Ve'ele Toldot Noach, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak Ben Abraham. When it means just genealogy lists, what does it say? Toldot in the name. Toldot of Abraham, Toldot of Ishmael, Toldot of Noach. This is not just simply the descendants of Adam, it's Sefer Toldot Adam. What does this mean? That part of the Torah is that it's a history book. It describes the unfolding of mankind. It defines, it tells us what's happening in the world, that what happened in the world from the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, and we'll follow and pick up that story with a particular spin on what's happening to Am Yisrael. So all of the stories, everything that is contained within the Torah, is part of the Torah for a very grand scheme. Because it's part of a Sefer Toldot Adam. It's the story of the history of mankind. All nations, listen carefully, all nations, in order to establish their nationality, are always connected to a particular land. Always connected to a particular land. And Am Yisrael is no different. No different. When we will discuss the history of Am Yisrael, it has to be seen in the context of Am Yisrael ruled where? In Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, it's called Sefer HaMitzvot HaKatzar. A list of mitzvot, a short list, which he decided to record only mitzvot that are applicable in his day. You know how many mitzvot are applicable in his day? How many of them? Take a guess. How many in the mitzvot, of the 613 mitzvot, how many in Chafetz Chaim listed? About 221. So many of them, of the Tariq mitzvot, only apply when you're in Israel, and furthermore, when there's a Beit HaMikdash. So the Torah in its totality is undoubtedly designed to be connected Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. There's no doubt about it. And the Torah at the very beginning in Sefer Bereshit will describe this country, this land is going to Eretz Shinar. This land, this country is going to where? To Eretz Sichon. This country is giving Eretz, these people, Eretz Sdom, Sdom and Amora. And the Torah will tell us about the unfolding history of populations of the world. Well, at the very beginning, I want to tell you, how does this all come about? How is it that a nation is assigned Babylonia, is assigned to the Babylonians? How is it that Edom is assigned to Rome? How is it? This didn't just happen. Who orchestrated all of this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the very beginning, Rashi's opening remark, and this is our second interpretation for today of Rashi's comment. Why does the Torah begin with the development of the story of the world? So Rashi says, to justify Am Yisrael's inheritance of Israel. And it's not the way Rashi necessarily spun it, that we are going to be called thieves. Even the nations of the world have to recognize that when they are placed here, and this one is placed there, who made that decision? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please open up to the other side of the page. We're going to look at a paragraph of Sefer Yirmiyahu, and then reread the Rashi, and it's Rashi is almost verbatim. Almost verbatim of the words in Yirmiyahu. Says Yirmiyahu, Perek Chav Zayin, Bereshit Mamlechet Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. At the beginning, Bereshit Mamlechet. Remember Rashi, we said last week, the word Bereshit never stands alone. It's always samuch into something else. Even though we will see Bachi is going to seriously disagree with that today. Bereshit Mamlechet Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda. Hayah Davar Hazeh El Yirmiyah Me'et Hashem Limu. Omar Hashem Elah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Aseh lecha mostot umotot unitakam al tzavarecha. I want you to make like a necklace out of sticks and all kinds of things. I'm not going to talk about the symbolism now. V'shilachtam el melech Edom ve'el melech Moav ve'el melech Bnei Amon ve'el melech Tzor ve'el melech Sidon. I want you to send these little bracelets or these necklaces to who? To those following kings. And tell them the following. This is what you should tell these people. Now go to Pasuk Vav for a second. And then we'll go back to Hay, you'll see the point. The Avdu et Oto Kol Hagayim. What does it mean? The Anochi, the Ata Anochi Natati Kol Arotzot Ha'ela Biyad Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. What's the message Yirmiyahu is sharing with all those other kings?
You will be conquered.
You will be conquered by whom? Don't put up any fuss. Don't put up any fuss. That's what Yirmiyahu is sending the message. Do not. V'gam chayata tased nasati. V'avdu oto kol hagoyim et bino ven bino. Not only him, his son and his grandson. Excellent. Now go back to Pasuk Hay. Now go back to Pasuk Hay. He's sending a message to five kings. And what's the introduction to the message? What's the introduction to the message? Anochi asiti et haaretz. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have created the land. Et ha'adam ve'et ha'beimah. Asher al pnei kol haaretz. Scattered throughout the world. How did I make this? Bekochi ha'gadol, with my awesome might. U'bizro ha'nutuya. And I have given it La Asher Yoshar Be'enai. To suffer. That's now we're going to reread the Rashi. Now we're going to reread the Rashi. To suffer. To people who I think are good people. Who are Yoshar Be'enai. That's who I have given it to. And therefore, now what message is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and telling them? Your time is up, buddy. Now, I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar is in control. For at least the next three generations. Him, his son, and his grandson. La Asher Yashar. How does he perceive the message? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master in control of everything. Now let's reread Rashi's words.
Reread Rashi's words. Let's
Exactly.
Exactly. Let's read it. Rashi's words in the first Rashi. We don't have to read the whole thing. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. No.
In Yomer, line 4 or 5. In Yomer, umot ha'olam liYisrael. Listim atem, you are thieves. Shekivashtim aratzot shiv'ah goyim. You, after all, conquered the land of the seven nations. Heim omrim lahem, the Jew responds, it says, kol ha'aretz shel hakadosh baruch hu hi. Hu bira'ah, he created it, v'na'unitana la'asher yashar be'enav. Whoa, exact word. Unitana la'asher yashar be'enav. He created, and who did he give it to? Who did he give it to?
Person who he thought was a good person. What?
He's saying
he calls
Nebuchadnezzar
a
deity.
He's saying that he's
100% he was
Nebuchadnezzar.
So
the answer doing his bidding.
Correct. You'll answer that question. And you know how many answered that question? Right. That question was asked. You know how many answered that question? They refer to a famous Rambam that was Jew. Very famous Rambam.
Rambam writes that it is a problem that troubles us every single day.
You see Al Capone living like he has those legend seats at Yankee Stadium. Legend seats.
Before they reduced the price per game. It's only $500 a game now. But it used to be $2,500. No one was buying them.
$2,500. Al Capone has those seats. And a person who, to us, appears as what? A great tzaddik. What happened? The guy is suffering. He's sick. And he's terrible suffering. Everybody knows. Tzaddik v'ra'lo, Rasha v'tovo. So the Rambam, everyone has tried their hand in trying to explain it, says the Rambam. Nobody in this world knows how to measure who a tzaddik is and who a rasha is. Why? Because although we believe that every single mitzvah is of equal weight, and that's the way we are obligated to treat it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got his favorites. He's got his little favorites. Problem is, nobody knows what those favorites are. So you can have an individual who appears like that tzaddik in Pels, the greatest tzaddik in the world. But he does one thing that irks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just gnaws at him. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on, he's way on the bottom. And that one thing that ticks him off, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, outweighs all of the good deeds which supposedly he did. And then you have Mr. Capone, who does everything, he kills and murders and does everything else. But he happened to have done one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to like. So in this world, says the Rambam, in this one, obviously the cheshbon is going to be straightened out in the world to come. But in this world, this guy has a ma'ala for which God decided he's going to reward him in this world and give him Yankee legend seats, season's tickets. So some claim, precisely to answer your question, what do you mean? The Nebuchadnezzar is now identified as La'asher Yashar Be'enai? He's the good dude who HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favor in his eyes? That's who it is? Wow. But the words of Rashi are the exact same thing as Yirmiyahu. You set up the whole Torah in order to, you're going to describe the unfolding of the history. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Well, you know, you want to know the following of Sefer Toldot Adam? You want to follow Toldot Adam? Well, you have to know people, how this nation came here, how that nation came there, their culture emerged differently, but it all emerges from a connection to their land. And what happens when they are stripped of their land? That's the unique thing about Am Yisrael. What happens when they're stripped from their land? They disappear. They're finished. They fade into oblivion. They become part of a history textbook. History textbook. But the reason why the Torah starts this way is because I'm going to lay the groundwork for the beginning of civilization. Not only Am Yisrael, all of the world. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. In fact, everybody here, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sin, knows Rabbi Akiva's Klal Gadol BaTorah. V'yahavta l'reacha kamaycha. But there is another opinion, Ben Azai, who says that this pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, is Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah. That pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, is Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah. That is the all-encompassing statement that includes the history of the entire world.
Who said that?
Ben Azai, one of Tannaitic scholars, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, actually. So this another perspective of Rashi is now to link in. You start with the Ramban. Sefer Toldot is not a genealogy list, but it's the story, unfolding story of mankind. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to record this at the beginning? To tell you that nations of this world do not plop down here because they decided they're plopping down here. This has all been orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has given it la'asher who finds somebody's yashar. In fact, as a parenthetical remark, the name, one of the nicknames of Sefer Bereishit is Sefer HaYishamim. The Nitziv, in his introduction to Sefer Bereishit, says that is the real name of this particular book, Sefer HaYishamim. And why is it called? Well, who is defined as a Yashar? Interesting, the Nitziv's interpretation. Not somebody does great mitzvot, somebody who can interact with people who might even be his enemy. People who he has nothing in common with, treat them like a human being. Be sensitive to their needs. It's the Ritziv's introduction to Sefer Bereishis. Look at Avraham. You know why Avraham is a Yashar? How do I know that the Avot are called Yesharim? How do I know that? Bilam said it. Tamot Nafshi Mot Yesharim. Excellent. I wish I could die the way the Yesharim died. How did Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov die? The Neshita. Namely, they died peacefully. No suffering. You know, they were relatively healthy, except they got a little old. They got old, that's true. But they died the Neshita. Says Bilam, Tamot Nafshi, Mot Yesharim. The Tziv quotes that passage right at the beginning. What's the great yichus of Abraham? That he sees the people of Sodom and Amorah, who ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem, and he feels the necessity to pray for them. He can work, he feels for whom? For Yishmael. I'm going to throw my kid out of my house. Yishmael's a, I'm not saying this, the Torah did. Avil l'chai. Pera adam. That's what the Torah did. That's not my word. Avil the mensch. Pera Adam, the Torah calls. Yad Kol Bo. His hand is in every whatever it is, he's picking up somebody else's things. And yet, does Avraham want to go ahead and get rid of him? No. So, for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds at that time, Nebuchadnezzar is his Yashar Be'enan. But Rashi used the exact same thing. Bereishit bara Elohim et haShemayim et haAretz. Just as Yirmiyahu says, Anochi asiti et haAretz et haAdam et haBeimah shel pnei haAretz. So these are two different ways to look at Rashi's opening remark. One, to put it in perspective of the opening remark of all five Chumashim. Number two, in light of the Ramban's comment, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam, we're laying the groundwork for all of humanity. Question?
Yes.
I was
going to ask you, aren't they called Yesharim?
There it is.
But I should also say that in modern legal Hebrew, which draws very, very heavily on language of the Tanakh and the language of the Gemara, you say Asher Yashar Be'inav very often, and what it means is as he may deem proper and suitable. So it may not be the person who is Yashar, it is the action.
That's correct. I'll grant you that in modern Hebrew, that is correct. That's correct. Yes. 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 It's interesting that how do we halakhically, how do we define the asisa hayashar v'hatov?
Yes.
To do a good thing. How do hayashar v'hatov? Okay? Hayashar v'hatov. Here's the case. Let's see. Okay. Anybody have a house next door that's being sold? Anybody have a house next door that's being sold? Next door? Excellent. If you want to buy it, according to halakha, you have first dibs. First dibs. What gives you first right? It's called Dina de Bar Mitzvah. The neighbor next door has a right to expand his territory. What? How pasuk is it included under? The Asisa Hayashar V'Hatav. Be a match. This is right next door to him. Maybe your grandchildren want to come and move there, so you're going to buy the house for them. Very nice. You get first crack. So Yashrut, and the Ramban elaborates on that, is nothing to do with anything that's 613 mitzvot. It's a sense of being a good, considerate person, way above and beyond that which would be considered mandated al pi chukei HaTorah. What? Yeah, that's correct. That's what you said. That's correct. All right, we'll stop here, Rabotai. So we'll meet in 2 weeks. This is not going to go fast, as you can see. Sefer Bereishit is not going to go fast.
This question was the Tzaddik Aralo and Rosh Batolo. Then how do we not doubt who to choose as role models?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. That's an excellent question. Don't know. Really, don't worry about it.
But yeah, we have a nice mazel tov. Our grandson Yaakov became engaged.
Oh, mazel tov.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I called my friends. They said, oh, David. I said, no, not David. Okay, everybody in his time.
Very nice. Yes,
so
beautiful.
Very exciting.
Right. When are they getting married?
At the very end of the summer, like December, a little bit before Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
There's the family from Efrat.
Right.
Right, so it's very exciting.
So you'll be in Israel. Great.
Yeah, we're going next week for Shavuos.
Beautiful.
And
we'll be in Israel the last 2 weeks.
The last 2 weeks
of August. I'm bringing all my kids and grandchildren.
We're going to bring our whole family for the wedding, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, okay. That's my fault to share.
Yes.
Be well.